This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm a very healthy Josh Saunders.
And this is for the players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. With almost 40 years playing PlayStation and 5+ years in the games media combined, we thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join that conversation, you can do so on YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Facebook, and all other major social media outlets. But the main conversation happens on our Facebook community group, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. And the extra paid conversation.
And if you really, really like
if you really, really like what we do, jump over to Patreon, patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
Even the week off, you destroyed me on that. Like last week with Paul, I butchered the spiel.
It's my thing.
The spiel used to be my thing. It used to be my jam. Like on the radio show back in the day, that was my thing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's yours now because I can't do it.
Well, you need to remember too much.
Yeah.
So I'll alleviate the pressure with the spiel.
I do appreciate it. I do really appreciate it. Speaking of leaving the pressure, how are you feeling?
Pretty good.
You're good? You're repaired?
I can speak.
So what the hell happened? Tell people, find people at home.
It's not exactly an exciting story. I got the flu, which turned into a chest infection, which resurfaced my chronic asthma.
Mm. And did you stop smoking during that time?
I smoked a hell of a lot less.
Ooh.
Like 3 or 4 a day instead of the 15-ish normally.
So are you going to try to keep it that way?
No, probably not.
All right, cool.
Now that I can breathe easy again, it's like, I got to catch up.
Yeah, you got to replace the nicotine you lost.
No, there were a few, actually really, I don't remember the last time I was that kind of bed / couch ridden.
As long as I've known, you've never been that sick.
No, I haven't been that, I don't remember the last time I was that unwell. So I appreciate the little break you gave me. I still showed up for the Game of Thrones episode.
You did?
I did, and that was a lot of fun. It was fun.
Yeah. Thank you very much to Paul from player2.net.au coming in, saving the day. Greatly appreciate it. Yeah.
I still would have done the show if Paul wasn't booked in. Mm. It just kind of worked out well because I really needed that day to just, well, those days. I was couch ridden, dude. Couch ridden.
So, being couch ridden, that means you may have played yourself a lot of games.
I played a lot of one game.
Yes.
Diablo 3 Rise of the Necromancer DLC.
Oh, damn.
So that came out last Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Dropped the kids at school, got home, put the download on, did my housework. Housework done, time to game. Probably play for about 20, 25 hours over the course of 3 or 4 days.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's still the Diablo 3 I remember, just with a cool new class, which happened to be my favorite class from Diablo 2. Now, they didn't quite capture the essence of
what... I was going to say, is it very similar to Diablo 2?
It has... The majority of the abilities carry over from Diablo 2. A lot of familiar names and a lot of familiar, traits and everything like that. Diablo 3 is a different game. It plays completely differently. But it was enough fun to keep me going for 20, 25 hours. Still enjoying it. They didn't add much else. You pay $20 for a new character, which...
Seems a bit high.
Is a lot, but I feel like I've got my money's worth so far.
Well, that's the thing. If you've got 25 hours worth of it, it's like, that's probably pretty good.
Yeah. No, I'm stoked. I'm wondering what they're going to do next. Are they going to keep kind of drip feeding new characters to brought back from Diablo 2, or are they going to kind of halt off and get up? Because Diablo 3 still has a lot of people playing it.
Aren't they remaking / remastering Diablo 2, from front to back?
Not that I've heard of.
Was this announced like a BlizzCon like 3 years ago?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Other than that, I played some Roblox with my son.
What's Roblox?
it's a block type character game.
Yeah.
On PC. So he played on my PC, I played on my laptop. We both have accounts, we play together.
Yep.
But it's a user generated game, so users make levels / worlds / adventure maps / puzzle maps that you can just join and play with, and there's millions of people on this game. and it says if your accounts if you're over the age of 13 or under the age of 13.
Mm.
And playing with kids. I was playing with my son, but there's a chat as well, and it's pretty good filter. I haven't seen a single swear word in the chat, so that's good. But
I can change that.
Kids rage, little kids rage, and I'm trying to bite my tongue because I can't tell them off because I can't take the moral high ground because they have no moral high ground.
Because they're kids.
Yeah. There's whinging about, camping and stuff like that. I'm like, you don't know what camping means, you fucking dickhead.
You think they're camping. Like, they're clearly imitating someone.
Yeah. I think, unless camping has changed terms, because in camping, I think Call of Duty, you know, sniper camping.
Yeah, that's how I know. That's why
fucking campers.
Yeah.
And, you know, these games just don't kind of have that.
So is it an like a PvP game?
Oh, it depends what world. There's probably over 500,000 different worlds to jump into.
So but I'm trying to think, if it's not PvP, how would you camp?
Yeah, well, no, there are worlds where it's like team deathmatch and PvP.
Okay.
But there are puzzle worlds, there are tycoons where, you know, you build an arcade or you build a theme park. Tower defense is what we played a lot of, which was a lot of fun. Just interesting to see the other side of gaming, like, because essentially for Alex, it's his first MMO, because you are playing with thousands of other people. And seeing how they moderate it is interesting. Seeing how they make their money is interesting. Just buying costumes and every single mini game has the option to spend cash. But they're not really pay to win. I don't know. It was fun. It was just fun.
Sounds like a lot of cosmetic-y things.
Yeah, it was fun playing in this kind of a world with my kid for a while.
Nice.
And I played Crash. I got Crash today, the day of recording.
Yeah.
I know you've been playing that too. So I'll hear your thoughts on that first.
Yeah, I've now played probably was about 3 hours of the first one. Or probably about 4 hours. I did play a little bit extra outside of the stream as well. I played the 3 hours of the second one with Paul last week for the stream. Haven't jumped into three yet.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for the next stream. It's probably next week now that I'm going away. I originally planned to go 1, 2, 3, like back-to-back days.
Oh, we should actually explain why the format of the show is
changed. We'll get there in a minute.
Okay.
So I was planning to do 1, 2, 3, sort of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But then when we found out on Friday, we got confirmation that we're going to Oz Comic Con on Sunday. Mm. Changed all my plans. Because they're like, hey, you've been like, what happens? Yeah, I got sent an email with like, hey, here's the media pack. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? We didn't get an email. You're like, oh no, you're accredited. We'll see you Sunday. Okay, we'll see you Sunday. Cool. We had a great time. I played a little bit of Crash. My wife has jumped in at Crash as well. She's also hashtag fuck the native forest.
What?
She's okay. There's a level in Crash 1 called the native forest.
Mm.
That level is garbage.
Is it actual hard or is it just garbage. Bad design?
It's bad design and it's really hard.
Do you think it's bad design because it's really hard?
No, well, there are moments you can get around it, but it's relentless. Like, it's such a... The levels up to it are kind of... Like, there is a small increase in difficulty and then it just fucking spikes.
Yeah.
And then it drops back down again. It's just one level that fucks you up.
Okay.
And consistently, thanks to Josh Anderson, it has been now known as hashtag fuck the native forest.
Okay.
Which is a little dangerous if we use that on Twitter, because the native forest can mean something very, very different.
Yeah, something very personal to a large group of people.
Yeah. But anyway, fuck them. Fuck the native forest. That's become a thing.
Okay. I've been out of the loop for a week, so...
Yeah, you've been out of commish. So, yeah. I've also, thanks to PlayStation Australia, we were invited to an event recently.
Mm-hmm.
We went to their Melbourne office to spend some time with That's You, which is their first game from their Playlink series, Playlink system. So it's essentially party games. That's the whole idea of it. It's party games that only involve one PlayStation. So okay. That's You is essentially, you know the Jackbox games?
Yeah.
It's essentially the Jackbox games, but with a bit more polish and obviously PlayStation focused. So what you'll do is you have the one PlayStation and upwards of 6 people can connect their phones to the PlayStation via an app, and everything is done through the app.
Pull up photos from your gallery? Because that's really risky.
No. So you take photos while you're there.
Oh, okay.
So what'll happen is you start the game, you all take your selfie, and that's your card. And that's the card on the screen. And then you'll play a series of questions. Now, I think the representative there said there's about 1,000 questions in the base game currently, with potential room to grow in the future. So it would say who is most likely to name their plants, and then then you sit there and you kind of like, oh, I think it's gonna be Josh, and the whole idea is you get points based on how many people answer the question. So if the question is, you know, who would name their plants, it's a very tame question, but and out of the 6 of us, if 5 of us all guess the same person...
Oh, so whether you can or can't doesn't matter. It's just people's perception of you.
Yes.
Okay.
So
it's like the Americans have, like, at the grad, you know, most likely to become a serial killer, likely to, you know, get divorced.
And that, so if, say, 5 of the 6 of us would have all agreed that it was you, we would all get 500 points each. And okay. if four of us were to agree, you'd be 400 points. So it's all...
So if you need to vote in the majority, basically.
Yeah, but like it's not... It's but because you can't see anybody else's answers, it's just kind of shapes what people think of you, which is very interesting. And we'll certainly be streaming it at some point. I think it's probably the next community game night.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we might do it with the Patreons and then stream that. It's fun and stupid. And obviously there's... Once you get like a couple of rounds of questions and then it moves into... phone stuff, as in it's like take a photo of yourself, take a photo of something around you, and then it gets sent out to the masses and it's like make this picture into like make this person look like a caveman, and you're like got 30 seconds to fucking draw a dick on someone's face pretty much. we had a lot of fun. We played two rounds of it while we were there. So it was Tom and Charlie from our friends at Load Screen, as well as a couple other people. One of them was Stevia, who's a sort of a bit more of a well-known gamers media than us, and two other dudes I've never met before in my life. But it was really cool. The first round was really hesitant. Everyone's sort of playing it safe. There were some sort of like, you know, harder jokes in there.
Does it display who voted for who when the time's up?
No.
Okay.
So it's no, you'll never know anyone else votes for.
Okay.
So yeah, so it was all the first round was a little bit sort of touch and go, and then when we realized, and then the guy behind us, the rep's like, none of you have drawn a dick. What is this? We're like, all right, then next round just dicks.
They know the demographic.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you know, like this. And like, Tom also shared a photo through Load Screen today of the box art of That's You and the little pit. It's PG rated, but it's got at least like 30 different things. One of them's like nudity and sexual references.
Huh.
Like, it's not in the game, but it's implied that someone's going to draw a dick on someone in this game. Look, this game's a ton of fun.
That sounds like
It's currently free with PlayStation Plus. It's free until... August or October.
Oh, wow.
It's like 3 months free because they really want to get it out there.
Yeah.
And it's $25 standard. Now, it's available as of right now, time of recording. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I really appreciate the invite as well because it was nice. It was nice because it was only 6 of us. It came out of nowhere. So I essentially emailed PlayStation saying, hey, you know, this is the show. You know, I've already told them about it. I'm like, you know, we have, you know, we'll let you know. We're almost hitting 2 and a bit months, back-to-back episodes. Let us know if there's anything cool, and we'll try to check it out. Mm. Like, hey, next couple of days. I'm like, cool. All right, I'm gonna have a really busy weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because for me, obviously, it's school holidays now, so I couldn't go on the Monday.
Yeah.
It sounds like fun. I look forward to playing it.
Yeah, no. It's really good. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. And that's pretty much what I've been playing. Cool. So this is where we would normally move into the news and all that sort of jargon. Mm-hmm. But as we're recording this on a different scheduled date than we normally do, we're not going to have all that stuff because we just don't have it.
No.
So, my fault. I'm going down to the country to see my family.
Not your fault. I mean...
Yeah, these things happen.
We are but two men.
So instead, what I've done is I've reached out to you, the lovely FTP watchers and viewers, and the pop culturist community, watchers, viewers, and listeners, I should say, just for some general questions. Like for our 10th episode, we thought let's just do nothing but community stuff.
Yeah.
Let's take all the questions and let's see how long we can bash this out for.
Don't need to look smart anymore.
No, you're done and dusted. So, housekeeping first.
Wow, we have housekeeping
now. Yeah, last week.
I've been away. I missed one episode and we now have housekeeping.
Yeah, housekeeping. Last week we did our PlayStation Mini. What games we think we would want. We did 15.
Mm-hmm.
We left a couple for the people and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to sort of chuck in a couple of it. Because I imagine you would have something different to the list. I'm curious to see what you would add.
Yep.
So this is the list that we have so far. This is the 15 games that Paul and I picked.
Okay.
Number one. Final Fantasy 15. Final Fantasy 15. Yes, right. Jesus. Final Fantasy 9.
I so hard agree with that. Fuck yeah.
Number two, Harvest Moon Back to Nature.
Yeah, of course.
Number three, Crash Team Racing.
I reckon that may be coming remastered soon.
If that does, then it's pulled from the list.
Because Crash, there was a news article saying it's the single biggest release of the year so far.
Yeah, great. It's the single, the platform biggest release. Single console release, which is massive.
That's incredible. And that's exactly what they were looking for as well. So I reckon we'll get Crash Team Racing.
I think we will too. And if that does happen, we'll pull it from the list.
Yeah.
Number four, Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Never played that. I wish I did.
Me either, but it's a staple.
I know it has such this big cult following behind it, and so many games are modeled after it.
Yeah, it's a genre-defining game. I think it's very
That's why, you know, they're called like Metroidvania kind of games.
Which
know?
Is, yeah, Metroid.
Metroid and Castlevania.
Number five is Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
Come on. It's tentpole.
I've never played one.
I know, it's really, it'd be really difficult for you to play it now. I know. But I'm just saying, like, it's a tentpole of the PlayStation.
If they remastered it, on the other hand.
Well, they did make a remaster for GameCube, but who the hell is a GameCube? Number six is Spyro. Do you have a GameCube?
Yeah.
I gotta hunt this down then.
I have.
I'll get us a copy of Ten Snakes.
I have a Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, GameCube, Wii, and a Switch. I'm just missing the Wii U in there.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah. Yes, number six was Spyro until we hear of a potential remake.
Yeah, I played a lot of Spyro as a kid.
Mm. It controlled like asshole, but that's fine.
Only when you go back to it
that
now.
That and Croc. Croc was the worst. Nah, Croc isn't. Croc's a no-go.
Croc was the first game I played on PS1.
Me too. No, it was probably like the second or third.
It was.
I still have it. It's on the shelf in the other room.
Because Mum had just started seeing my stepdad, who I call Dad now. You know, like the first meetings are really kind of awkward. And
he's like, hey, he's Croc.
He's like,
thanks, Dad.
You know, Josh, Steve has a PS1. Do you want to play? I'm like, Mum, marry this dude. I think I was like 9 or 10.
And she did.
And she did.
All for that PlayStation.
All for the so I could have a PlayStation growing up. But you know, Croc was the...
Sharon?
Sharon.
You done good.
You done good, Sharon.
Done good,
Sharon. But you know, Croc was the first game I ever played on PS1.
Number seven was Silent Hill.
Mm-hmm. You don't get much better than that.
Nah, OG Silent Hill is fantastic. Number eight, this was a Paul pick with Suikoden 2. Never played it myself, but I hear it's fantastic.
I think I did. I can't quite picture it, though.
Number nine is Grand Theft Auto, the original.
Ooh.
Simply because I played it on the PlayStation. I know it was on PlayStation and PC, but I think that is a very important game to find out where this franchise began.
Yeah, and... I remember it being the first game I wasn't allowed to play.
Yeah, same.
I did eventually, of course. I think it didn't take long for me to kind of crack that. But, you know, it's
I remember who exactly broke that. I wasn't allowed to play it. Then my friend at the time, who I've not seen in quite a number of years, Sean Danaher, was like, yeah.
That's still recording?
I don't know.
Yeah, I took my glasses off. Never mind.
Yeah, it's not flashing.
Yeah.
Number 10, another Paul pick. Shane Warne Cricket 99. Not my choice.
Okay, okay.
But Joel's pretty stoked about it.
We need variety. So there has to be a sports game.
Has to be a sports
game.
We've got a racing game, we've got a sports game, you know what I mean?
Okay, I'll give it a pass.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
Of course.
Yeah.
With
easy.
Complete. Hopefully the rights would carry over for the music.
Yeah, we'd have to fight
because
for the rights.
Because if
the music.
We got if we got Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 either on that or remastered, if it doesn't have that soundtrack.
So
don't even fucking do
kick
it.
Kick it off and we're putting in Dave Merritt. We're putting in Dave Merritt
BMX.
Freestyle. Yeah, freestyle BMX.
Yeah.
Done. Number 12, Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver.
Oh, why does that ring a bell?
Like, dude, it's cool little face mask thing. It's rad. Good game.
Yeah.
Of course, Tekken 3.
Yeah.
Tekken 3 is fantastic. Yeah. Final Fantasy Tactics, game I've never played.
I've played Tactics.
Have you?
I love Tactics. Tactics is amazing.
It's a game I've never played.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, Tactics is amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Breath of Fire 4, which is a JRPG that I played when I was growing up, and I lost my life to that game.
That and Harvest Moon. So define your childhood.
They're my two.
Yeah.
Now, I also want to add Medieval to the list. I don't know why I didn't put it on there, so that's 16.
That gives me 4.
That gives you 4. I'm going to do this.
Okay,
Medieval.
Okay. Okay, so I have 4 to add.
Yep.
Is that right? I would like to add Cooler World.
What?
Cooler World.
What's Cooler World?
The one where you're the ball on the map and the map rotates.
No, that was on my demo disc. So on the demo disc, I remember it was Tekken 3. Tekken 3, Medieval.
Show you pictures for the nostalgia. There you go.
And Cooler World. No.
You remember Cooler World?
What else was on?
There such were, a...
And then, I think it was Ridge Racer. No.
Yeah, maybe. Or Wipeout.
Maybe Wipeout.
Such a simple but infuriating puzzle game, but it was fantastic. What are you doing?
I want to see what's on the demo one disc.
Do you think that'll be easily findable? Content says... Oh, yeah. Content on old PS1 demo discs. I don't know if you're able to find it, though.
All right, what else you got on your list?
Hogs of War.
Damn, that's a good pick.
I remember I picked up... I picked up Hogs of War after I'd been playing Worms Armageddon. So to me, it was like a 3D Worms game.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny game. Look at it now, it looks like fucking shit. But at the time, it was great, and I think it would actually be a really fun game to have now. So you got Final Fantasy IX, but you know the Final Fantasy series is so integral to the early PlayStation days, so I'm going to put Final Fantasy VIII on there as well.
Yep.
Final Fantasy VII's already getting a big remaster, and they're fucking it up already.
So Hogs of War.
Hogs of War, Cooler World. Final Fantasy VIII, or V111, if you want to be like that.
Thank you very much.
And more JRPGs, The Legend of Dragoon. I think I've mentioned this game before. This game was...
Oh, and then the Ape Escape, because why not?
All right. So 20 plus 1.
20 plus 1.
Yeah. Legend of Dragoon was a JRPG. And the story was there are these legendary Dragoon amulets, which turn into like a dragon warrior. Mm-hmm. So obviously, being the heroes, you find the amulets, and then instead of having like a limit break like Final Fantasy, you could take on your Dragoon form. And the combat, and you know how in like JRPGs, you hit attack and then you just like run up and hit with your sword,
mm-hmm.
and run back. It had like a combo attack kind of thing. So if you got a weapon, you run up and you hit like a little square would go in, and you hit X at the right time, you get another attack.
Yep.
And as you upgraded your weapons, you got an extra attack on all of that. So by the end of the game, you're doing like 9, 10, 11 button like combos and stuff. It really kept it. It made combat interesting.
Okay.
Like you had to pay attention. You just keep mashing X. Like you pay attention to timing and everything. Story was pretty good. I remember this game being fucking awesome. I'm sure if I went back to it now, it wouldn't be. But I remember this game is a very special place in my heart. I really, really liked this game. And it was a series of... The issue they had... I'm going to go on a little tangent here. The issue they had when they released Legend of Dragoon
mm-hmm.
is they were trying to pitch it up against Final Fantasy VII. Like, this is the game that will beat kill Final Fantasy, and that was their marketing strategy.
Yeah, that's
and that shot it in the foot. If they just put the game out, I think it would have been a lot more popular than it was, because it was a great game. But with that marketing strategy, they immediately soured a lot of people on it. But it was a fantastic game. I'm glad I got it.
Beautiful. Well, that's the ask coming out of the way. I just wanted to see what you wanted to add, and I think you've added some good lists. I think the PlayStation 1 Mini is now complete. I think it's a very strong and solid list.
How much would you pay for this console? I don't know what I haven't watched last week's episode. $20.
It was like, look, with the power of the games that are on there, obviously as well as the licensing rights, I think we'd be hitting 130, 140, maybe 150.
I think a whole lot of the cost of PlayStation to make would be to renew the licensing rights for the music for Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
Yeah, so I think it'll sit around between 120 and 150. With the SNES sitting at 120 with less games than the NES, like about 20 games. And obviously these games are a bit more intense, a bit more graphically demanding. So although it doesn't, the box still won't need a lot of tech, it still need a little bit of grunt, I think. So
I, as big of a fan as I am of nostalgia, I would much like wireless controllers.
Mm.
Please. Because they fucked up bad with the NES. With like the 1 foot long cord. I don't know what the SNES Mini has.
About twice as long.
Okay. It's still not long enough. No. And cords just, they don't have a place in today's world for gaming consoles.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, the topic of this week's episode is essentially
from the players.
From the players. You know, we reached out, asked all the questions. Now, some of these aren't entirely PlayStation related. Some of them are just games industry related. Some of them are pop culturist related.
Ooh.
So it essentially became PlayStation and then gaming, then an AMA. So okay. Fuck it. Let's just put everything we can in there.
One day we'll be big enough to do a Reddit AMA.
Yeah. Now, I did not write down who asked what.
It's like... Questions from the people 101.
I think I can remember who. If not, I can do a search and I'll find them.
Yeah,
okay. I know for a fact the first one is from Joel.
Mm-hmm.
He asks, related to a post in the Pop C community yesterday regarding the Anthem footage being from a 1X and our discussion about the dev kit power. What are your guys' thoughts about the Xbox One X dev kit being so much more powerful than the retail version? Has more CPUs, 12 gig more RAM, and runs a solid state hard disk. Microsoft says this is so the devs can focus on making the games and getting them up and running without limitations, and they, quote, tune down near release to get it running on the retail units. All this says to me is that I can't trust any E3 demo, not that they have been entirely trustful in the past, when they say, quote, this is running in engine, or quote, footage running on Xbox One X's, as we now know how late into development games remain running on dev kits. So there is no way Metro or Anthem are going to look close to what we saw at E3 when we released. What are your thoughts?
First off, the whole that PlayStation posting.
Isn't that amazing?
It's funny, but I don't put the blame on PlayStation for that at all.
It comes down to, I assume BioWare just didn't send them the trailer.
No. I think someone from BioWare probably sent them the trailer like that.
Yeah.
But you know, we know, like, you get a PR release, you just put it out. Mm. So someone would have got the video. Like, looking on the controller, that, like, looking at the triggers is just, I think someone would have got the video and put it out.
Yeah.
And I don't really blame them for that.
Yeah, so all BioWare go, hey, here's the PlayStation 1.
Mm.
You know, we don't know where the blame sits, but it's funny. Yeah.
I don't regardless. Think that everyone was, you know, slamming Sony. And I don't think it was Sony's fault at all.
Or it could be.
As for what Joel's saying, I agree that it is misleading to the public of, you know, because with the wording they use, you know, actual in-game footage, well, yeah, it is for the dev kit, but that's not actual in-game retail console footage.
Yeah. Like,
this is not what you are going to have in your home.
It's like the statement running in engine. That could mean anything. Yeah. That could mean a cinematic in engine. That doesn't mean shit.
As for, you know, the misleading part, is bad. I don't think it's healthy for the industry. Just, you know, put it on the dev kit for whatever console you're showing it on so people know what they're getting. Because you can go back, like Joel said, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt as it is, but we shouldn't have to. Having said all of that, the graphical prowess of things is something I've said before that I'm not so fussed about. Like, to me, the original Destiny 1 looks fucking incredible.
Mm.
Like, that, and the Last of Us Uncharted 4, they look fucking great. And any better than that, to me, is just a waste. As in, I don't have the TV to support it. I don't have the Pro.
Mm.
I don't care about having the photorealistic graphics. I never have. So to me, it doesn't bother me that much, but I can see why. But as in terms of marketing, it is a pretty shitty thing to do.
I sort of agree with you there in terms of I understand why they would send that kit out to devs, because, you know, see, that's sort of the thing, right? In order to building a game is very different to playing a game.
Mm.
So building a game, there's a lot of extra assets. Like, nothing has been optimized.
Mm.
So standard things may need a bit more grunt than normal. So as they're building on it, they're running it on the dev kit, testing it out. Okay, that was just the basic code of that works. Awesome. We can get the character to run in a straight line without his leg flying off to the left. So then once that's all done and the game's in quite a comfortable state, then they tweak it, optimize it, and bring it down.
Yeah.
I think that's a totally valid reason.
But that's not the footage they should be showing.
That's the question, is like the footage they are showing us, you know, Joel brings up that excellent point. Like, they're saying it's running on the 1X. Like, we don't know what that means. Mm. Is that 1X dev kit? Is that 1X, you know, whatever.
Mm.
Like 1X retail, 1X, you know, mid something or somewhere in the middle. Like, as I mentioned, like Joel's spot on. But at the same time, also in terms of releasing that version to the devs, totally agree with, but Joel is 100% spot on. Very rarely do I trust footage from E3.
Yeah.
I allow it to get me hyped, get me excited, and that's about where it lives for me. You know, I've personally been burned probably enough times in the past, and, you know, publishers, no matter who they are, have at some point burnt us with footage from E3.
The Division. Remember how good that looked?
So good.
Even the gameplay, though, the shitty live-action gameplay they were doing, the game looked fucking awesome. And you can go to YouTube now and you can look at the E3 release and the retail release side by side, and you just see how.
But once again, the benefit of that is, like, because it is a vertical slice.
Mm.
So at the time, I imagine without a doubt that is what they wanted for the game. It wasn't released to deceive people. I believe it's that what they wanted the game to be. And as they continue development and start to realize maybe we can't create the big world that we want to make and have all these effects.
I don't know. I feel like at that point they should know what their limits are.
Mm.
Before putting out something like that to the public.
But that's where Joel's point comes in terms of they don't know their limits until they try to bring it down to the retail version.
Maybe they should do that first.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm not saying he's wrong.
Yeah, but having said all of that, I'm personally not too fussed on it. In terms of, look, if a game doesn't look as graphically good as it's pitched at E3 for me, I'm like, eh.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't look, you know, like insanely good and then come out looking like trash.
As long as it doesn't come out looking like Uncharted 1.
Even Uncharted 1 were pretty solid. But I get
at the time.
Yeah.
But if it came out looking like Uncharted 1 now, when you see Uncharted 4 graphics at E3, that's a problem.
Yeah, like they're like, hey, we made a remake of Shadow of the Colossus and it looks exactly like PS2. It's like, no thanks. That's not very good.
It doesn't though. It looks fucking awesome.
It looks fantastic. Yeah. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah, they're like, we're remaking Shadow Colossus. Whoa! It's the exact same graphics as the PS2. Like, what?
Same assets too. Yeah.
Yeah. Next question comes from two different people. One of them was Reese, and I don't remember who the other one was. So they're essentially very similar questions. Was Crash the Insane Trilogy successful enough already to possibly see Crash Team Racing or even a Spyro remake? And the second question was, following the Crash Insane Trilogy, what other PlayStation childhood classic do you want to see remastered, and why is it Medieval?
That was Tom.
Yeah.
I think we already discussed that with Crash, yes.
It is sold out almost everywhere.
Yeah, well, because I went to EB on Sunday.
Mm.
To do that, the trade-in deal to get it.
Yeah, two games, $20, whatever. Yeah.
They didn't have it. I said, oh, okay, well, what about your 15 other stores within a 10-minute radius? No, no one had it.
Wow.
I was like, oh, fuck. Okay. It was Monday. And then to their credit, they got it posted to me from the warehouse. I got it 2 days later. So that's awesome.
Yeah, because I know that Target in town was also out. I know JB was out. Mm-hmm. Like, that is awesome. That's such a massive testament to the game.
I don't think there's been a game out this year where it was literally sold out in every shop.
Outside of
Breath of the Wild?
Breath of the Wild didn't. It was close, if I remember right. I know Neo didn't, but that was more of a stocking issue, as in they did not print enough of that game.
Yeah.
They didn't think it would be as popular as it was.
Yeah.
Apparently, Persona had a lot of that problem as well.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, we were not too bad. You pre-ordered it. You know, we got a review copy, so we kind of dodged that ball there, same as Neo. So we don't have a representation of that one. But
this is exactly what we needed from Crash. And yeah. I think it was an Activision rep who said, you know, well, depending how it does, we might do more.
Yeah, he's like, we may keep going if we hear good.
Yeah. No, so yes, absolutely. And
I think it's certainly performed. Does that mean Crash Team Racing? I think it's more likely than it was a week ago.
Oh, for sure. And as for Medieval, I think I played it later.
It
doesn't quite have that
I remember playing it on that sweet demo disc.
Yeah.
I remember playing this as probably the first level. It was kind of average at the time. Playing it now, it doesn't look as sharp or as good as I remember. In my head, it was quite detailed. Not so much.
But I'm sure it would be greatly appreciated by the people.
See, Crash? Remastering Crash is still a fan service, but Crash had such a positive, widespread appeal remastering that is an easy decision.
I don't know how they go with Spyro seeing as Skylanders now.
Well, this is something I talked with Jess, one of our community members as well. Now, she's really involved with Skylanders for her son, Axe. So
I used to be. He grew out of it, though.
Yeah, so
it cost me so much money.
I asked her, you know, where does Spyro sit currently in Skylanders? Like, we know that he was the flagship for Skylanders and helped push units at the start. She's like, yeah, slowly but surely he's being pushed to the side. You know, because they don't need him anymore to push the franchise.
Yeah.
Which to me means that they're not going to waste... Like, they've not wasted Spyro even then. But it's like... I think there's a lot more work to make Spyro a today game than Crash is. Crash platforming's pretty easy, but a 3D world sort of platformer, kind of like...
Yeah, maybe.
As I said, Spyro handles like garbage.
I think you'd have if they're looking to sell units, Spyro is a better choice than Medieval.
Yes,
because like Crash does that that extends to nostalgic older players like us, but kids these days are like, what's like, it's a great game for kids to play.
Yeah, it's bright, it's
until
colorful,
you hit the
cool.
Native Forest.
Yeah, apparently.
Same with Spyro. I'd buy a Spyro remake. I'd probably enjoy it. Kids these days, as far as Medieval goes, though, it doesn't have that instant recognizable appeal.
Yeah, and it's
for
super niche.
A majority of people. So I think their safe bet is Spyro. But yeah, I think we'll see more. I definitely think we'll see more after Crash.
Not for a while. I reckon we'll get an announcement soon enough. I think I would like to think PSX.
I think that's too soon.
I mean, even just not to like to say, hey, we're gonna do it,
or just we're gonna do more,
or like depending on like where. I'm curious on whether Vicarious Visions and Activision must have known that Crash is gonna be huge. Maybe not as huge as they expected. Like, so do you think maybe that they have already been working on Crash Team Racing? So at the end of the year, they might not give it a date, or they may, you know, PSX. They're like, you asked, Crash Team Racing. And it's coming in March.
I don't think so.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I think E3 next year we'll get in it. We might get...
We'll get Spyro next year, E3, I promise it.
You promise? I'll make your predictions early this year.
Yeah, you're ballsy as hell already. Next question comes from my buddy Reese. Will we ever see another Simpsons game? Or will it come in the form of a hit and run remake, as remake / nostalgia are the trend?
All this love for Simpsons Hit and Run, and I've never played it.
Simpsons Run is like GTA, but Simpsons.
Yeah.
It is awesome. So, like, as you can switch between characters, and as a result, you get different vehicles depending on who you are. Mm. So, if you're Homer, you get the pink car, you know, the pink standard car they have, or you can then get the Homer, you know, for, like, the green monstrosity. You know, if you're Otto, you're the bus. You know, if you're Snake, you're, you know, his car. Like, it's really kind of well done for what it is at the time.
Yeah. PS2, like, yeah?
Yeah. So, it's not so... Like, because they also did that Crazy Taxi version of Simpsons, which is really good as well. I
think Simpsons has outlived its usefulness.
I don't think Simpsons is the moving property that it once was.
No, not close.
Futurama maybe.
Futurama Hit and Run.
So Futurama, like, there is a Futurama game on PS2, and it plays all right.
Yeah,
I think I'm pretty sure I've got it. But Futurama has, because it kind of died before its time. Even though it came back, it's still like, everyone still has such a strong love for Futurama. Simpsons is, you know, 20, 30 seasons now. It's kind of, it's death rattling. It's not death rattling because it's still going reasonably strong, but it's like interest, public interest. I don't see, a remake is very unlikely, and the new Simpsons game is very unlikely also.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen. At all.
Because I think the last Simpsons game, apart from Tapped Out on the mobiles,
That was
a big deal.
A lot of people played that game. I played
the shit out of that game. Probably spent a lot of money in there. I think before last console game would have been the Simpsons movie game on PS3. I never played it either. I thought I should have, because I like the Simpsons, but I never picked it up.
No.
It's unlikely.
No more Simpsons.
I still apologize, Reese. I know you do. I know you do love your Simpsons. He has Everything's Coming Up Milhouse tattooed on his arm.
What?
He also has Mr. Burns as the alien.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Reese is fantastic. You've even met Reese at my wedding. Now, his partner...
He's really tall guy.
Yeah. His partner, Steph, when I first met her, her Facebook page was... Her name was Seymour Butts.
Yep.
And she did it as a social experiment to sort of see what would happen. So, like, her birthday came around, everyone's responding, you know, all these friends you have on Facebook that don't really know who you are.
Mm.
And they're all like, happy birthday, Seymour. And it was just hysterical.
Yep.
And then, so since I've known her as Seymour the entire time.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, okay. More Simpsons getting in there.
Yeah.
So I've known her as Seymour as long as I don't know. And Reese's surname is Montgomery. Like Montgomery Burns.
Oh, okay.
These two were born to get together and born to do Simpsons.
Cool. I want to see that. Those tattoos, that'd be cool.
It's pretty damn awesome. I think he has the Milhouse tattoo. If not, there's a girl at work I think that has it. Okay. Someone I know has the Everything's Coming Up Milhouse tattoo. And I'm like, you're fucking amazing. Let's see. This came from Paul. What PlayStation generation is the best?
The best how? As in...
What you believe is the best generation of PlayStation.
One.
Really?
That's what started it all for me, man.
Mm.
And all my fondest memories. When I think back to my gaming history, it always goes back to me playing the PS1. Always. Yeah. There are snippets of, you know, the SNES and the 64 and all that, but I think to the PS2 era, all I really remember from that is playing Final Fantasy X and being okay with it.
Yeah.
3, same thing. You know, it was good. It was good games. But no, one for me is always the best era. Because if one didn't do well, we wouldn't have the four that we have today. I feel like it's a cop-out to say four now because it's the current generation. Yeah. And, you know, what's fresh is best. So yeah.
What's the rule with Barney? New is always better.
Yeah. Yeah, that. more Simpsons.
I've been watching How I Met Your Mother.
But no, one for me. One is my most fondest PlayStation generation.
It's tough for me because each of them have... It's tough. Each of them have their own different memories for me. My PlayStation 1, I remember getting it for my 9th or 10th birthday or whatever. I remember almost all the games I played on it because like the benefit was like... I'm sorry, PlayStation. It was a chipped version, so I was...
Oh, yeah, my PS1 was chipped to fucking hell.
Yeah.
So like my dad had this guy who lived around the corner from us named Paul, and every week he'd send us an updated list of what he can get. He had every PS1 game and would pay $10 for it, except for the multi-disc games like Final Fantasy. It's $10 a disc. Oof. So it cost me $40 for
so, like, what we used to do is we didn't pay anyone. We would go hire games. Mm. Like, my buddy Nick and I, we would go and hire out a ton of games. We'd burn them, we'd play them.
Yep.
In order for it to burn properly, we had to run at the lowest setting, like the lowest speed, otherwise it would crap out.
Okay.
So we had it going, it would take like 8 hours. So like, all right, you burn and we'll play whatever this one is.
Swap them around.
Yeah, so like we had a monster collection of games that we would always swap between. You know, it's just sort of like, that's where I got my first like tastes of PlayStation. My PS2 was one of the first consoles that I paid for on my own.
Mm.
I did get help from my parents for that one because I distinctly remember them giving me some money. I remember picking it up on like Boxing Day from Big W in Morwell. I had a lot of memories, but with the PS2, but not as strong memories. Mm. But the PS3, like I loved my PS3. My PS3 was amazing because that was the first console that I bought entirely myself.
It was yours.
As in every dollar that was spent on that PS3 came from me. I remember it was the Metal Gear Solid 4. Metal Gear Solid 4 for 40 gig console. Mm.
Yeah, it was backwards compatible one.
No, just the standard one because that was like $1,000.
Yeah,
it was $800, and I did it over eight weeks. $100 a week from my pay.
Yeah.
When I was working, I remember when I picked it up because this is when I was at uni. So I picked it up from Melbourne Central, EB Games. Like fuck yeah! Went to the pub, got some beers, went home. I oddly remember what I was eating, like every because like there's a certain smell because like my dad made this nice salmon with rice. Whenever I get that, whenever I smell that, I think of me playing Metal Gear Solid 3, Metal Gear Solid 4 at the place we lived at in Elwood. Okay. Like I get instant memory flashbacks to that PS3.
Yeah.
And then obviously PS3 when we first started getting into online and I would spend hours and hours and hours playing online games with all my buddies. So for me,
DCUO,
you know, that's probably a big one as well.
It's burned into that TV.
I think my answer is PS3.
Okay.
Simply because of how distinct those memories are and the fact that it gave me... I played that game... Like, that PS3 right there. I played that until it fucking burnt out. Literally. PS2 still works. My PS1 still works. I played that till it exploded.
That's not healthy.
No.
I had the backwards compatible PS3 at home. Never used it. For backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
Never touched it.
I'm curious to see how it runs because I was going to say, I was thinking about streaming some PS2 games. Mm. I have no idea how it's going to look. Maybe the PS3.
No, we can try it.
We can try. Yes, the answer is PS3 for me.
PS1.
I forget who asked this question. I think it was Ben Baird. He says, any games that are coming out this year that you think will blow 2017 out of the water?
Blow out of the water.
As in like that'll be the... Like there's a game that hasn't come out yet that'll just fucking destroy.
No. I think those games have already came out this year.
I'm the same boat as you. I think we had an incredibly strong start of the year.
Mm.
Like the end of the year does look to be mostly third parties and I don't think a third party game will have that much punch.
No, well, you know, not even just from PlayStation, but you know, Breath of the Wild was the start of the year. Horizon was 2 days after that. to a lesser but more extent, Persona 5 as well has had that kind of effect on the industry as a whole. It might not have been critically acclaimed as those two games were, but as its effects on the industry were very, very harsh.
Just listen about all some of the big games coming. As you said, Horizon, Zelda, Persona, Neo, Nier. I mean, like, there's these games that are just Resident Evil 7, just games that blew up at the start of this year.
Yeah.
Now, what we've done, we've had a look at what's coming out for the rest of the year because we've tried to forecast what we want to do and what we want to cover. And as of right now, at least for the next 2 months is pretty fucking quiet. Mm. You know, outside of, say, the end of the year is pretty much Destiny 2, Battlefront 2.
There's going to be great games at the end of
the year. Oh, they're right. Like, we're not saying those games are going to be like be bad.
Fractured But Whole.
That may blow everything out of the water for me. But I don't know. We still have to wait and see. It's always the same if it fucking comes out this year. Mm. You know, but you know, there's like, you know, but Call of Duty World War II, like that, I think that I do have a kind of a gut feeling that'll be good, but whether it'll be blow away good, I don't know.
The only thing that I could have said would be blow away good a month ago would have been God of War 4.
If it was coming out.
But it's no longer coming out this year. So no, I think the games of the year that blow you away and blow the industry away have already come out this year.
Yeah, like everything is shift. Like, this is something that we're seeing in the games industry as a whole. So rather than, you know, back end, like loading the back end of the year Christmas, they decided just distributing it as willy-nilly as they feel. So the first 6 months have been fucking mental.
You know, Mario Kart 8, not a new game, but it's fucking sold a lot, and a lot of people really like that game. But Nintendo don't like... Splatoon 2 isn't going to do that. No. And I don't think... Mario Odyssey
might do okay, because we got Assassin's Creed coming out in October. We've got Wolfenstein 2. Mm. That may be a sleeper hit like the original. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Until we play these games, we don't know, but I feel like that category of games you're talking about has already hit.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, I would love to have another one.
I am 100%. I'm 100% open to that changing. Because if I can find a game that just destroys me, like last year, I think pretty much my game of the year was going to be Uncharted until I played Stardew Valley.
Horizon, I loved, and I platinumed it.
And this year, we're going to get Horizon expansion at the end of the year as well.
But no, the game personally for me that's done that this year is Persona 5. Exactly the kind of game I think I needed at that time, and it just for any game to come out this year and top that for me as a whole experience from start to finish, it's going to take a lot, and I don't think the rest of the year has it in it.
So the couple of, this is where we're sitting into the not so PlayStation-y but more sort of general ones. This is from Ben as well. Can we make really bad live action retro game videos? He'll help. Sure.
What do you mean, like our Resident Evil and For All?
Yeah, but sort of dumb and stupid retro games.
Like what? I need examples to picture.
That's all I got. I don't know. Oh. I think he didn't really pitch anything. He's just like, hey, can we do this? And I think we could. We can certainly do anything. I'm down to film dumb shit all the time.
Yeah. What did we have planned for the next one? We had something.
Well, the big next one that we've already planned in advance is obviously God of War.
Yeah, and I've got 9 months to get in shape.
In shape and grow a sweet beard.
Yeah. His beard's not that long. Not that long.
And then a quick look at our wall to see what things we have up here.
Although, you know, he is fucking ripped. So I need to kind of get on with that. Yeah. Or it could just be like Kratos after the adventure, who's let himself go a little bit.
Yeah.
And Dylan's obviously going to be like a Minotaur or something.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll just be there.
Yeah.
I'll play your son. But just tall.
Yeah, no, I'm keen. I'm always keen to film dumb shit. Send us some examples if you can.
Yeah,
What would you or viewers and listeners like
to what would you like us to make? We're down to make some dumb shit. Justice League not having Martian Manhunter. What the hell's up with that? Look, we're not quite ready for aliens outside of Superman.
He is an alien.
Yeah, that's the point. Like, because he looks like us. We're not quite there yet.
I don't give a fuck. I hate that character.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not a big fan of John Johns?
Not a fan of John Johns.
He's John Johns, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Jones. No, that's the MMA fighter. no, like watching... I mean, oh, I don't know. Start of this year or late last year, I rewatched Justice League Unlimited. He's just annoying. He just doesn't fucking do anything. He's just always the one in trouble. One that needs help. I mean, he helps sometimes. But he's shit. He's a shit character and he shouldn't be in the DCUO.
Boom.
DCE You.
Movies.
Yeah, DC movies. Sorry, I don't have any attachment to him. Yeah. I haven't put any effort in, but I don't
I think care. He'd be a very, very difficult character to just animate in general. Like, he rocks up in Supergirl, but he looks weird as shit, so...
Yeah, he looks like a buff alien Mr. Burns. Just to tie it back to that.
No, I see that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he'd fit with that theme.
Hmm.
The theme that the DC
because they are trying has. To do that more grounded thing. So yeah. I think it'd be very interesting, like grounded in some Whereas ways.
I know Superman is an alien by every definition, but he's a humanoid alien. I guess John Jones is too, but he's like a shape shifting kind of. He's so a different kind of alien.
For all we know, the Martian Manhunter's already been in the movies. That's what Zack Snyder loves to do. That shit. He's like that guy over there. Yeah, that was Jimmy Olsen. He's dead now.
Yeah. Spoilers. Oh, well, they said it. He did say he was Jimmy Olsen at the start.
No, but you know the point I'm making is like, hey, we're going to put Jimmy Olsen, one of the beloved characters in Superman franchise.
Superman's best friend.
Guess what? He's dead now.
He had 30 seconds of screen time and four lines. No, sorry. I'm not a fan of that character at all.
Me either. Next up.
Well, sorry. And the fact that he's not in Injustice.
Yes.
At all.
Yes.
Like the fighting games means DC probably.
He's in the first one.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a special character.
No. Well, he didn't make the cut for the second one because he's shit.
Yeah, suck it.
Sorry if you really like that character. I just don't.
You know, he's in the Ultimate Edition, so he would have been on the DLC because I gave you the PS3 version.
Who would pay for the. Next question.
How do you think Channing Tatum will go as Gambit? Now, if we ever find out, if we ever see it, that movie is so dead.
If Channing Tatum is going to play anything in any superhero movie, he should be Shazam. He should be Billy Batson.
Damn right he should be.
He has that adorable.
He's that boyish charm.
Boyish charm, goofy, which Billy Batson is. Shazam is, and he could physically stand next to the Rock and not look
and
small.
And look imposing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got the perfect haircut for it as well. Yeah. Channing Tatum, as he is right now, would make Shazam. A great Shazam.
Fuck yeah.
I hope he doesn't do Gambit. I'd hope Gambit never fucking happens. Because as far as I know, they haven't found a Shazam for the Shazam movie.
No, as far as...
The Rock's been slated as Black Adam for like 2 years now.
Yeah, and that, I am sort of concerned that that movie may be going away as well.
I hope it doesn't. Because to see the Rock in a superhero film and him as Black Adam, that'd be so awesome. So dope. So good. And having the Rock in a DC movie...
That's a big pull.
That's a massive pull. Such a big pull.
This comes from Jess. In terms of being the pop culturists, it seems your main focus is gaming and movies. Is there any chance in future that you'll explore other avenues of pop culture? Now, when we launched, a year and a half ago, we were a four pillar system. We were movies, TV, games, and comics.
Mm-hmm.
As we moved further, we come to realize that with a team of three of us, that is not obtainable. That is not doable.
And also, comics are difficult because, one, they're expensive.
Yes.
Two, they're very much a personal preference. Because comics don't get the return for the time invested. Because for me, like, my favorite publisher is Image Comics. Mm-hmm. I fucking love that. I love that they're not superhero based, very standalone, interesting, different stories. But for me to spend time, one, going to Melbourne to get the ones I need every week, reading them and reviewing them, and for what viewership I think they were pulling, it's not worth it.
And what would be more difficult is, because when we used to do written and video, it made a little bit more sense to sort of do comics. We tried to do some comic reviews back in the day.
Mm. I did a few.
You did. And like the tough part was the turnaround and making them relevant. Because by the time we read them, write about it and got it up, they were old news.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a comic themselves can be read in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And unless we got pre-release access,
it didn't happen.
It was dead. It was dead on arrival. Yeah.
If we lived in Melbourne, I think it'd be a different story.
Yeah.
You can literally every Wednesday night or / Thursday morning.
When I lived in Melbourne, I worked part time. That's what I would do. I would hike to the city. I would go get my comics. I'd hang out in the shop, and then I would, because I used to work this way. Yeah. So I'd like go there, do what I need, and go home.
See, we do have Gifts for the Geek here in Geelong.
Awesome. Yeah.
But they can't quite get the range I mean, as far as DC and Marvel go, they've got pretty much everything.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I like Image, and Image is, you know, lots compared to them, they're a lot smaller of a publisher. So Gifts of the Geek gets some of the main, you know, they get Saga and East of West and all that kind of stuff. But Image is very niche as well, and they don't get a lot. So for me to review a comic every week, one, I'd either have to buy it digitally, which I don't like doing. Comics to me, got me into comics, but comics to me are like a book, like a novel, you know. I'd rather read it off the pages than read it on a screen.
Yeah.
It's just not feasible for me to go to Melbourne every week to pick up $15 worth of comic books.
Yeah, and on top of that, as we went, so in terms of other avenues of pop culture, TV is incredibly difficult. And it's in the same boat as well in terms of, unless you get early access to it, why?
And I just, I don't watch it.
Yeah, I don't watch TV.
I don't watch enough TV.
I used to watch a lot more TV, but now I don't. It's so time demanding.
So the thing is, any spare time I have to sit down and watch something, I'm watching my favorite YouTubers do what they do.
Yeah.
Which helps this.
You know what I mean?
Which in turn helps this because, you know, watching other YouTubers, even if they're not doing exactly what we do, you know, you learn a lot from watching. So that's my TV time is YouTube time. Unless, like, obviously Game of Thrones will be an exception. Unless there's something groundbreaking. Like
we'll cover Game of Thrones.
Oh, fucking oath we will. But unless there's something groundbreaking, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
Not when it's relevant, at least. You know, I'll pick it up when a full season. I don't watch seasons. I don't wait. I don't hang out every week for a new episode. I used to. But now I'd rather just wait for the whole season to be on a Blu-ray and I'll just go buy the Blu-ray.
Yeah. In terms of other pop culture, like anime and that sort of stuff, you like anime, but not to an extent that you would think that, you know, we would be, we would have any valid.
Same thing with TV. Is it same with anime? It's very rare. Like it's very rare that I'll sit down and watch something.
Yeah.
Especially something new. I have my old classics that I love to watch, and you know when their new seasons come out, I'll jump along. Attack on Titan season 2. I'm waiting for the English dub version. Yeah. But if you want anime content, go to annie-game.com. That's Joel's website.
Yeah, so
Joel's
all over it. PopSeed community member Joel.
Yeah,
he's got all the anime stuff you want. Yeah.
He's getting some behind the scenes stuff too.
Yeah,
he's doing well.
Yeah,
doing really great. Well.
He's kicked off about a month ago. He's kicking it already. It's fantastic.
So yeah, if you do want some anime content, head over to Joel's website, annie-game.
And look, the short answer is when it comes to, well, why we cover games and movies, there's two reasons. One, we know games.
Mm.
Two, Dylan knows movies. And we love movies.
And we don't get to take advantage of that enough.
No, we don't.
It is hard.
It's very difficult. Once again, because it comes down to the early access thing with movies, which we do get invites to premieres. You know, we do, and that's the other thing as well. The reason we cover games predominantly is because that's where what we have access to.
Yeah.
You know, we are lucky enough to be in a place where we have friends and connections with a bunch of PR companies and distributors here in Australia.
Mm.
So that's where we sit primarily. That's the only reason, you know. Well, not the only reason, but it's part of the reason.
And as far as movie premieres go, they're normally on a Tuesday evening in Melbourne.
Yeah, Tuesday or a Wednesday evening, and we all work full time. So, you know, you study full time now, I should say. So we're doing things that if this was our primary job, fuck yeah. Like, who knows what we would cover if this was our primary job. We would go to movies, we'd go to events, we'd do everything.
The thing with movies though, movies is easy because the reading cinema is 5 minutes around the corner.
Yes, we would go see a movie in advance screening and then come back and talk about it for 40 minutes is done. Yeah,
and get a review out on release day. Like, it's easy.
Yeah, that's a good churn.
TV and comics just require too much time that we don't have in the current state.
Now, you said, as we grow and do more and more, it's certainly an option.
I would love to get back into comics and to do comics properly.
Dude, I've not been to the comic shop in about 6 months. My order is probably huge. I really hope that FAC
You need to contact FAC.
I assume that he stopped.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I assume he's gone. No, I haven't seen him right in like 4 months. It's fine. Mm. But yeah, that's why.
I guess you could say it is a stretch goal for us, an unofficial stretch goal.
Yeah, like, well, obviously the stretch goal for us is to be able to have this subsidized part of our work so that we can, you know, work less and focus more on this. That'll give us that more free time to do those things. But that's the other thing, another difficult part, because there is the three of us. There would need to be enough money to come in to partially pay for all three of us.
Yeah.
And that, like, you know, because it would be kind of unfair if there was enough money to help me take less shifts. You know what I mean? Like that would be great for me. And seeing as I do most of the back end work for this anyway, that'd be awesome. But that's unfair. And we're a democracy here.
That's a behind the scenes discussion we should have at some point.
But yeah, it'll take a while for us to get even to a level of money that would make that feasible.
But then this question is going a long time, but it's also, do we want to? Like, as for the TV thing, I don't want to.
I think
it's not a part if
it became something that we could sit down together and watch a series, like that would be more, I think that would be better.
Thing is, games and movies, like I don't play games and watch movies for this. I play games and watch movies because that's me and that's what I enjoy and that's just part of my lifestyle. Watching TV is not. Comics used to be, but at the moment it's not. And I don't want to force that because then it becomes a quote-unquote job and a work and you just can end up hating it.
Yeah.
The whole thing with this was to just cover what we want to cover.
Yeah.
Because that gives you that genuine response.
That was one of the rules. It was like we cover what we want to cover and with that comes the better content because we care.
Yeah.
And because it's something that we're passionate about.
Doesn't mean we're always happy with what we cover. No. We've shat on a lot of things.
Like Dylan, right? When Dylan gets the free reign of a movie, he's the happiest he's ever been.
Yeah.
And like, we're trying to look at things to do something with him, which I pitched him the idea again today. Like, can we do a For the Players, but with him solely on movies?
Yeah.
We're trying to work out whether that is a viable option, whether that's something that we can do.
Whether there's enough weekly content.
Yeah, whether there's enough weekly content. With, you know, when will we film it? And there's a lot of balancing involved. Yeah. Next question. But thank you for the question. That's a lot of
questions.
Still learned a lot of inside baseball there about pop cultures. I don't remember who asked this one. If you could play, this came from Dave. If you could play, if you could only play one game for the next 12 months exclusively, which one would it be and why?
World of Warcraft.
Oh damn, that's crazy.
There's unlimited things to do in that game. The game has been out since 2004. You got 13 years worth of content and expansions. You have, I think, 12 classes now. And the thing is that the game never stagnates. There's still, I think, 7 million plus people playing it. And every few months, there's a new patch that adds a new raid that pushes the bar higher. And then they do that 3 or 4 times. And then the new expansion's out. That game never stagnates. I guess to clarify with the question, though, play the game in its current state, or do you still get to play that game and take advantage of future patches and expansions too?
Yeah.
But even in its current state, I'd still play WoW for the next year. That would be the only game that I currently own that I could just play that, because everything else I could see going like, oh, I've had enough of this. The only reason I stopped playing WoW is because I don't have the time to commit to it to play on that level. Whereas if it was the only game I had for a year, then I absolutely would.
I don't have an answer because I don't play games that long.
But you could. This is your opportunity to.
But I don't know what it would be.
Play WoW with me.
Yeah, I could play WoW with you. That'd be kind of fun.
Be top 2v2 PvP.
Like, team. I would come to learn to understand WoW and...
It's not that difficult.
No. But I mean, like, as in, like, I'd care. I'd hope that I'd begin to care about the lore. Like, my answer could, like, it could be, you know, Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
Like, I love that game. It's somewhat endless.
The thing with WoW is with the lore, you get as much out of it as you want.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just want to level up, you accept the quest, you run to the marker, you do the quest and return it. But if you take your time and you read the quests and you read the lore and you read all the optional stuff and you could... It's such a big world with so much lore.
I know. So it's a cop-out, but I don't have an answer for that. Simply because the way I've now adapted to playing games, I play them in weak bursts.
Well, the other option would be something, a competitive PvP game, Overwatch, Dota.
That would I would burn out. Like, the way my brain works, I would burn out. I probably essentially have undiagnosed ADD. I can't sit still to begin with, let alone play the entire same fucking game for 10 years. For 12 months, I should say, not 10 years. Yep. Like, an example is, right, so... on Sunday night, we went and did an escape room for Dylan's birthday. We were in that room for what? 90 minutes, and there were three occasions that both Dylan and I got distracted and started fucking around with other things. And like, wait, back to it. Like, oh, sorry.
I thought you were going to say fucking each other.
Yeah. Because like, I got distracted and Dylan's like, oh, and then he got distracted with me. Yeah. And then he was distracted. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? And then we got, while Craig, Jacinta and Millie were trying to work out this puzzle, Dylan and I are fucking around on the other side of the room. So like, I can't pay attention, even for a short period of time. Like, we're lucky we can sit down for an hour and do this.
Yeah. I'd maybe not comfortably play WoW for a year, but if I had to pick a game, it would definitely be WoW.
Yeah. This one comes from Jono. He asks, which 2v2 PlayStation game would you pick to verse a rival podcast network, which I can assume is the Explosion Network or Platinum Explosion. So I assume it's either Tim, Dylan, or Jack versus, I assume, you and I.
Well, there's always Rocket League.
That's what Dave said, was like, Rocket League. I'm like, yeah, but I suck anus at Rocket League.
Hopefully they do too.
Like, what else could we get in there?
If it's Rocket League, Dave can stand in for me because he's part of our team.
I like it. Like, he's technically part of the team. Yeah, I like that. It's a good recovery.
I wouldn't even say technically. Dave is a part of our team.
I mean, technically, as he's not front-facing, like, no one really sees him, but he is part of the team.
2v2 kind of, like, it narrows your options a lot. Rocket League, there was that Disc Jam. I found that was fun.
Yeah, Disc Jam could be interesting. Like, maybe I could, let's get a shooter in there.
There's that NBA game, like that. Was it free? I think it was free. NBA Playgrounds?
Yeah, NBA Playgrounds, maybe.
2v2.
So I don't know. Like, see, that's that would thing, because we don't really like, what would our strengths be? Would we want to play a shooter? Like, would we work together well as a shooter team?
No. An RTS.
No, I'm horrendous.
But I might. Okay. World of Warcraft arenas 2v2 PvP. It's on.
The answer is probably going to be Rocket League, and I would.
Rocket League is the most accessible.
I would like to stream this. I think it would be awesome. Yeah. I think Jono, Dylan, or Jack, or any of the other guys from the Explosion Network.
It will be against me and Ryan. We wouldn't put Dave in.
Consider it a deal. We will find a game and we will verse.
Would be funny to put Dave in for Rocket League and stand in for me, because yes. Dave's at Diamond level 3 or something insane. Because
I'm horrendous.
Rocket League's accessible. It's easy to play, as in it's easy to set up and stream. I think Rocket League would be the go.
We take your
challenge accepted. Take
your challenge.
Is that a glove slap in there?
What else we got? I think we sort of answered this, but what is your fondest gaming memory and what made you fall in love with games?
Final Fantasy VII. Eight was the first. No. No, it was 8. That's right, it was 8. So it's a 4-disc game. I didn't know what all the... It was my first multi-disc game. I didn't know what it was. And have you ever played 8?
Keep talking.
So you start out on this small island in your garden, which is your university, like Balam Garden, and you play the game for a bit, and you go out and you do this thing and you go back and you graduate your test, and then you...
Yes, I had a demo disc for this game.
And then you graduate your test and then you go across the ocean and save this town. And it was just the point where I realized this world is fucking huge and this game is huge. It was the first kind of game I played that had that big fantasy open world, if you know what I mean. There was just a point that clicked and I just went, like... To 10 or 11 year old me had played this game for 15, 20 hours, and then it's like, please insert disc 2. And I was like, wow, like there's 4 discs. And to me, like 20 hours of a 10 year old gaming, that's a lifetime. And it's like, I'm not even close to finishing this game. And it was just that moment of like, this is gaming, like this is fully absorbed, huge world, blow your mind gaming. So it wasn't one particular moment, but during Final Fantasy VIII, something just kind of clicked, and I just kind of went, this is so much more than anything else I've ever played.
I can't remember the exact moment that I fell in love with games. I think it may have been just when I started playing. I don't remember that clear moment of like, this is me. I don't remember that, but my memory is appalling to begin with. Rampant drug use in my late teens and early 20s. So I don't remember those key moments. This is a conversation I had with my dad, funny enough. I think what made me fall in love with the story is of my with my dad going out of his way to get me a PlayStation. I think that's what made me fall in love with it. It's like, this was my console, this was my thing, and it was cool, and it was, you know, it, like, at the time, not many people had it.
The cool kid on the block with the latest tech.
Well, no, because across the road, the kid across the road, Jesse, he had a 64.
Okay.
And I had a PS1, so we would kind of go and play each other's thing.
Play with each other?
Yeah, and then play games.
That's hot.
Yeah, real hot. So like, I think that contributed, because this is a conversation I had with my dad the other day.
Mm.
I'm like, you are aware that you have shaped what this has become. Even like, you know, you talk about like, you know, like butterfly effect shit, right?
Yeah.
As in, there are key moments in time that shape the rest of that person's life. And that moment that I got my PlayStation for my birthday, that changed and shaped my life. Mm. That exact moment helped me become the person I am today. As in, that...
Minus the rampant drug use.
That moved me into the gaming space. That gave me that love of PlayStation. If anything, I wouldn't be the person I am today without that PlayStation.
Mm.
You know, like I said, I've had other consoles in that time, but nothing matches the excitement of getting that PlayStation. Nothing matches the positive memories that I have with this brand, and this brand is what gaming is to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the answer, as lame as it is on a PlayStation show, the answer is probably just PlayStation.
Obtaining a PlayStation.
Just jerking dicks of PlayStation.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And final question comes from Charlie. You might not have a lot to say, because I don't know much for this outside of That's You. He says, what do you think of PlayLink and what the possibilities are?
No idea.
So PlayLink is it's Sony sort of, as I mentioned with That's You, it's they're sort of looking to creating more party games, more sort of community experiences rather than solo games, right? So another thing, one of the doing, so Supermassive, one of the, you know, creators of Unknown, the creators of Until Dawn, they are working on a PlayLink game, which is Supermassive sort of realized that a lot of people were playing Until Dawn together. They were playing it as a community. They were playing it with their brothers and the sisters around them and with their friends. And
a lot of Let's Plays on YouTube with two people.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to do, you know.
Eventually.
No, we will do that. Now that it's free this month, it's a perfect time to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And what we'll do is we'll put on the option that allows is there a way that the community can pick the decisions with us? Or like, does it pause long enough to... I know with Telltale you can do that?
There might be an option. There are a few dialogue choices that, you know, are infinite, but there's some kind of quick timey stuff, like, you know, you're running, it's like, yeah, right or left, and you need to choose then and there. But I think there is enough dialogue pauses later, or in certain dialogue conversations that kind of let you choose.
All right.
But there might be a way to like pause it or something.
But yeah, so Supermassive sort of discovered, you know, they looked at it and they saw this. They're like, all right, well, let's build a game using this new PlayLink feature that will allow people to sort of use their phones and, you know, vote on things and sort of create cool conversations and cool experiences. I
think the key thing they need to do is, you know, That's You sounds fun.
Yeah.
Maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
And that they need to find games that are always fun to play, even with the same group of people. Because, yeah, That's You seems cool, and I'm sure I'll enjoy it 1, 2, 3 times with you guys. But then after that, you know, is it really what
there
you want to be playing?
There is one answer. That'll make PlayLink the must-have feature.
What's that?
It is the first console interactive version of Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah,
how you make PlayLink work.
Or even granted, the other games like that. Cyanide and Happiness, Exploding Kittens.
Yeah, like it might take away from the family-friendly approach of the PlayLink.
Family-friendly?
No, PlayLink. PlayLink.
You know, yeah, sort okay.
of
yeah.
for the family experience. Like, but if they, you know, they will have to release an R-rated version of
this.
I think that would be.
I mean, it's already a thing. Fantastic. You can already play Cards Against Humanity against randoms online.
Yeah,
like it's already. But like, that's already. But
like,
a thing.
Bring it to the console, like
that's
Cards Against Humanity is open source. So it could be doable. You know, the problem that we have right now is when we play it, we have about 6-7 expansions. So there's like 1,000 cards on the table. You can digitize that.
Yeah. But unfortunately, when you mix in all the expansions, sometimes things just don't mesh together well. Mm. Like from one expansion to this expansion, you mush them together, then a black card from that one doesn't quite suit the white card. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there was that one time that we created a saga about boxes.
Mm. Yeah, that was good.
That was a very good time. But that's all our questions. So thank you very much to everyone that did contribute to the questions. That we got quite a long episode out of it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it was really good.
I thought I'd be home by now, actually.
Yeah, I could probably go to bed. Got works in the morning. So I was really impressed with that.
Thank you for participating in that conversation. If you wish to participate in many more, you can on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, and all other major social media outlets. But the main conversation happens on our Facebook community page, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturists. But if you really, really like what we do, jump into the Patreon conversation at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For The Players.